They lost the ability to receive from Him, from the Lord, through Him. And that is so easy for us to do today. So what might we expect when we walk in His footprints? Now, let me back up. Let me make this statement to you. True honor produces a reward. Now, you say, well, I'm not after rewards. Well, don't rule that out, okay? The Lord wants to honor you, and honor is viewed as a reward by Him. So you need to learn to receive that honor, to receive what the Lord's offering, and I'll give you a good example of that in a moment. So let me go down. What might we expect when we walk in His footprints? If you begin to walk as He walked, do you think some people are going to say, well, who is that? Well, that's just Susie, or that's just Tricia, or that's just... And what are they doing? They're beginning to view you as common, not really to bring you down, but to elevate themselves. And they become offended. So we might expect some of that same reaction, some of that same persecution that the disciples walked in, that Jesus walked in. Yeah, so it really shouldn't be a surprise to you. And really, what are they despising? What are they not esteeming? It's not you. It's the anointing in you. And so really, that kind of perspective is anti-anointing, or might I just flat say, anti-Christ? Because that's what the evil one is coming for. He's not coming to just take away a man. He's coming to take away the anointing. He wants that same anointing that Jesus walked in. And so it's really just an evil spirit. Now, that leads us to another verse that we need to look at. Isaiah 29, the 13th verse. Isaiah 29, verse 13. And I want to read it in New American Standard, and then I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. Now, this is being spoken in the midst of a prophecy to Israel, and it's not a real good prophecy because they have not been walking in this, as you're going to see. Look what the Lord says in verse 13. Because this people draw near with their words, literally means their mouths, and honor me with their lip service. You could just say lips. But they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote, or in other words, by men's tradition, by religion. And we all know we're not interested in a religion. We're interested in a relationship with Jesus. In the New Living Translation, it says, and so says the Lord, the people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing more than man-made rules learned by rote. So when we learn something and rotely do it over and over and over, and I will plead guilty to this, when I was a youngster in the Methodist Church and learned the doxology, man, I could sing that thing as good as anybody could. But I had no clue what I was doing. And I see now what I missed until I became born again, and not just born again, but really born again and begin to have my mind transformed into who I had become. So what do we see here? True honor is a heart position. This is true in our honor toward God, toward Jesus, but it's also equally true in our honor for each other. And that's why I noted some of the hypocrisy that we mentioned early on. So true honor is a heart issue. Now, we've set the table, and so let's spend some time now in these remaining minutes beginning to go through seven aspects or seven, what is the right word? Objects of honor. And by objects, I'm talking about people. I'm talking about the Father and the Son. So title I've put on this is a lifestyle of giving and receiving honor. Now, the and receiving is really, really important. I want to share with you something that happened to me this past Sunday. I was teaching down in Sylvania, Georgia, and I was standing out in the lobby about 20 minutes or more before the service, talking to one of the people that I've become acquainted with there. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice, and I turn, and there are three people from our church here in Tennessee and in Macon who also listen to what we're doing today and participate with us. And there they are, standing there. I was without words. I'll tell you some of the words in a minute that came to me that I said that I've been corrected by the Lord as we came home yesterday. But what they were doing was honoring me. And I was so impressed with it, but my immediate thought was, I can't believe you're doing this for me. Now, what am I doing there? I am really rejecting or giving them reasons why they shouldn't have honored me. I'm not receiving that honor. Now, that honor is not going to build me up to a point that I think I'm something. Now, I can't let that happen. But they made an effort to honor what we were doing in this assignment we've been given for the Lord. So in honoring me by coming to there, who are they really honoring? They're showing honor for the Lord and the Word of God that they said they had come to hear. And the Lord really corrected me about that as I drove home yesterday, that you need not to make excuses. And I'm speaking this not just for me, but for someone who's listening. When people commend you, when they honor you before others, don't delve into this self-worthiness. You realize pride on one end of the stick is being elevated. Pride on the other end of the stick is being proud of how humble you are. And it's the same stick. So don't fall into that same trap that I was tempted to do. It was my joy to be able to honor them before the congregation. And I just want to tell you, after the service, I had more people talk about them and how it blessed them that they would do this for someone than I did the fact that they came to see me. And that gave me great joy, because what was the Lord doing with that? He was giving honor right back to Alan and Michelle and Susie. And that just blessed me as I saw how He works. They were getting rewards as they what? Had sown honor to what we were doing there. So giving and receiving. So let's begin to talk about the first of these seven. And I want to talk to first about honoring the Lord. So we're going to go over a lot of scriptures. We're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time on any one of them, but just want to get reinforced. Now, remember, we're looking at Jesus. If we see Jesus do it, then what do we instantly know? We are to do it as well. John 8, verse 49 and the first part of verse 50. And I'm going to read these to you from the New King James. Jesus is talking to a bunch of the Jewish people. And they've been giving Him a little bit of a hard time. And in fact, they told Him that He had a demon in the previous verse. In 49, Jesus answers and says, I do not have a demon, but I honor, Tome, my Father, and you dishonor me. And then in verse 50, it says, and I do not seek my own glory. Now, the word glory there is the word doxa, which is used commonly for glory in the New Testament. But I want you to know the word doxa is also used some for honor. So again, we see that glory and honor that we talked about earlier. But Jesus is saying, I honor my Father. And that ought to be part of our heart as well in everything we do. In every act we do, it ought to be so God is honored. And that's why there's some scriptures that caution us about how we ought to accomplish certain routine earthly work that we think about. That every work, everything we do, honors the Lord. Now consider this. If Jesus honored the Lord, then it goes without saying. We could stop here and say that's our number one charge. And the other thing I want to mention, though, is did Jesus honor him in all of his ways? Did he even honor him in his offerings? And the answer is yes. And so should we. And that shouldn't surprise us because the word, Jesus, in Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what are we doing when we make offerings like that? What are we doing when we tithe? Particularly if we tithe with a worship, which we're supposed to do, to tithe the tithe. We're honoring God and saying, I'm willing to give you this as the tithe, the 10%, or more if you so choose, because I trust you. One of the things that BJ and I have learned, and I'm almost hesitant to say it, but I'm going to because I think it may speak to some people. During times where things look bad, where we have lost something, either something breaks that we just at the most inopportune time, or even the stock market go down, quite often the Lord has moved upon me to give him an offering. Now, understand, my primary reason for doing it is not giving so I can get. My primary reason for doing it is to turn to him and say, look, I have absolute trust in you, so it's gone down this much, so I'm going to give you this much. And every time we have done that, we have seen things recover for us. We've seen things go better. And that is his way of honoring us because I'm truly doing it to honor him. Now, am I going to believe for a return because honor has a reward? Yes, but that's not my motive. My motive is to say to you, I honor you, Father. Look at John 8, verse 54. In this same dialogue, just a little later, Jesus says, if I honor myself, then my honor or that honor is nothing. So I'm not doing this when I give an offering, my tithe. I'm not doing it to honor myself and for people to say, wow, look at he tithes. But what am I doing? I'm honoring my Father. So he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me. That's the honor that we want to look when we do something for someone else or from the Lord. We don't want to look for them in return to honor us back. That's being manipulative. Really, that's being hypocritical. But we want to honor the Father, honor Jesus, honor, glorify the Holy Spirit. And what should we expect to happen? We should expect that he's going to provide us an opportunity to be honored just like he did Jesus. And that's the same word. The last honor there is the word doxa. The first one is honoring myself is the word tome. So we see when we honor ourselves, that can be bad. In fact, Jesus never says it's good. John 5:23, Jesus is talking and he says, all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So we're learning here that Jesus tells us in his word that the honor we have for him ought to be just like the honor we give to the Father. Now, what does Jesus do with that honor when he receives it from us? What should we do with that honor when we receive it from the Lord? Pass it on to the Father. If you say nice things about this Bible study, I give glory to God because I know I'm not smart enough in and of myself to to minister some of the things that He's given me. And I just give it all to Him. And look, the more we give, the more we're grateful for it, it's just going to circle. It's that circle of gratitude that just comes as we live in that thanksgiving. So if this is a principle for Jesus in these days, then that same principle must be in the world today. We must honor. Now, this means that we ought to honor our pastor. That we, and let me finish that verse because I'm getting ahead of myself. It says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent them. And the point I wanted to make about this is there have been times when my pastors have invited somebody and they just weren't in the flow that I was in. I didn't value them. I did not honor them as I'm called to do. And why am I called to honor them? Because I honor my pastor. But I can give you multiple examples that I'm not pleased to do, of where I didn't like the way he talked or the way he talked. And I did not receive from them. I will tell you that I have one instance that I can remember vividly where years ago, before we moved, where the Lord corrected me on this. And the next time this individual came and I went in saying, I'm honoring him, I'm going to listen to every word he says, I'm taking notes, I received. And so that's what we need to see with this, is that Jesus says, if we're going to honor the one, the Father, then we've got to honor the one he sent to us. And this is still true for us today. Now, in the remaining minutes, I want to go to the second one. And we'll probably wrap this up here today with this one. And this is the honor toward the body of Christ, or the church, here on the earth. John 12, verse 26, Jesus talking, and again in New King James, all should honor the Son, 12:26, I'm reading one up there. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And then listen to this phrase. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Again, the word tomei. In other words, as we serve, then he values what we're doing and he's going to honor us because of the value he places on what we're doing. Now, this is the Father honoring you and I. And what do we do again when we receive that? You're going to see we turn right around and give it back to Him. Now, this shouldn't surprise you because in Psalm 8, talking about how the angels looked when the Father created man, it says, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? And I can hear the angels saying, he didn't come visit us when we were created. He just created us and we had assignments and things to do. But look at what it says. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, or that word literally means God, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So there in the Old Testament, if I can use the Greek words for the New Testament, tomei and doxa again. Glory and honor. So both are represented here, and that's what the Lord said, the angels were saying about man when they saw the attention, the value that they recognized the Lord was placing on man. Psalm 91, the last verse, says, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Not the last verse, it's verse 15, not 16. It says, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. So here's another verse. And then right after that is when it says he's going to give us a long life and show us his goodness, his salvation for us. So the Lord is honoring us as we work with his Holy Spirit, doing what we're told to do, accomplishing that. And then we can turn around and honor the Holy Spirit. We don't want to say, oh, I'm not worthy of that. I mean, back into that receiving honor. We want to thank you, Lord, for honoring me in this. I give honor back to you, and I ask you to give me something else that will bring glory to Jesus. And then Jesus takes that glory and honor and just turns it right back to the Father. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12. And this is, we're going to read a few verses from this chapter. We're going to start in verse 20 and go to 27. Talking again about the body of Christ. So now we're getting into, we've seen that the Father's going to honor the body, everyone in the body. He desires to honor. And we're going to see we're to do the same. But now there are many members, but one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again to the feet, I have no need of you. What are we doing if we do that? Well, we're saying, I'm not common, but you are. That's what we're really doing. We're building ourselves up, often at the expense of someone else. On the contrary, verse 22, it is much truer that members of the body who seem to be weaker are necessary. That's certainly true. You think about a thumb, you think my hand is important, but without the thumb, that hand is greatly limited. Or the toes on your feet. Without toes, the feet aren't working well. So we don't want to esteem something lower than we should. We want to place a worth or a value on it. And then verse 23, which is the verse here, says, and these members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. In other words, as we honor them, we see a greater value in them. And I also believe that not only do we see a greater value, they will see the value that the Lord has placed in them, and that will encourage them to step out and do more in this body that we're fitly joined together with. Verse 24 says, it seems our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. And why did he do this? Verse 25, that there should be no division in the body. In other words, when we do this, what are we promoting? Unity. And where is the blessing, according to Psalm 133? There, in that unity, is where the blessing is. And it says that all members should have the same care one for another. Now, it's not saying we're not going to have people who are we're closer to. But it's saying we can't look at others as not being worth being close to, not being worth caring about. 26 goes on to say, and if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. And if one member is honored, all the members should do what? Should rejoice in it. In other words, if I'm recording here with Patricia, if she is honored in something, I ought to celebrate that with her just as if I have been honored. And the reason that's true is because we're joined in Jesus. So we are joined together. And that's some of what hurts me as I see Christians backbiting against each other and sects of Christian talking about each other today, when we ought to be, we don't have to talk against them. We can honor them by keeping our mouth shut. 27 says this, and now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Now, in wrapping this up today, I want to read one more scripture. We're going to go to Matthew 10. And as we go to Matthew 10, I want to just remind you what we read in John 5:23. that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So he's talking about honoring the one who was sent. Now, if I read chapter 12, verse 20, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 40, then it says this, he who receives you receives me. Now, let's just stop there. So if we take that verse and we take what Jesus said about honoring the one who was sent, then the next phrase, which says, he receives me, he who receives me receives him who sent him. Then let's take this and let's replace these words, receives, with honor. In fact, I'm just going to read it to you in the Bible from in the BBE, Bible in Basic English. This is what the implication is. He who gives honor to you gives honor to me. And he who gives honor to me gives honor to him who sent me. 41, he who gives honor to a prophet in the name of the prophet will be given a prophet's reward. And he who gives honor to an upright man in the name of the upright man will be given an upright man's reward. So we're talking about honoring and receiving, or receiving and honoring. And it concludes by saying, and whoever gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of the disciple, truly I say, he will not go without his reward. So what do we know that this person's doing when we give someone a cup of cold water like that, an act of kindness? We are what? Honoring them. So this brings me to the conclusion of this section, which I'll say one more time. We're to honor our peers in the body of Christ without any hint of hypocrisy. In other words, you shouldn't have an ulterior motive in honoring somebody. You don't want to honor them hoping they're going to honor you. And unfortunately, we see this, and probably we fight some of this ourselves, in churches at all the different levels of the callings. There should be no competition with us. It's, again, it sounds like agape, and honoring is, if it's done out of the right heart, it's an act of love. You're honoring because you're commanded to, and you're doing it because there's love there in your heart for them. And we're honoring those who don't even seem to be important, because we need each other. There is such a dependency. Now, this final comment, as I gave you in the example earlier, we must learn to receive honor with humility, as I learned more about this past Sunday. Don't shun honor from a brother or sister. Don't push back on it. Why? Because when they give honor, what is coming to them from the Father? A reward. And you don't want to impede that blessing that they're going to get at all. And then finally, I'll say it one more time, we should rejoice just as I think Jesus rejoiced. When the woman with the issue of blood came and took her healing and Jesus saw her, says he saw her in all that crowd when he looked, I don't think he had a scornful look on his face. I think he was rejoicing because she had honored him by coming to him because of what she heard about him. And she believed him enough to take that healing. And I think that brought him great joy. And thus he honored her as he complimented what? Her great faith. So we're going to pick up here next week and continue on honor. We'll talk about family. We'll talk about government, civil authority, and that'll take us into talking about positions of authority, and then we'll wrap this up. But we'll also probably roll into this, if we have time, two elements that are tied tightly to it, or start to. One is submission, and I know that's not a popular term, and it's almost as unpopular as the word obedience, because you're going to see, to honor, you will submit, and you'll be a obedient servant. Bless you. I trust this has blessed you as much as it has me in preparing it and delivering it to you today. And so, Father, I just ask you right now, as I bless these people as they go on this week, that this word become implanted in our heart, that they'll show acts of kindness out of honor to others. And Father, when they do, just remind them of it. And I also ask you to give them the reward which you have for them. We ask this in the name of Jesus, knowing that He is going to honor you because you are our good, good Father. Amen. We'll see you next week.